Okay, so we wanted to finish the Gemara Mitzvah Hashem until the end of the Sugya, and then we said we're going to go back a little bit and do a bit of Chazara, which is always, always, always important. We're on the Gemara of Daf Chof Hey on a base, and we're looking at this Sugya about the Raye Bokka. So the Gemara said, in the name of Rava, that Raye Bokka, shepherds, apostle, the Eidos, whichever type of animal they're looking after, whether it's a behema daka, a behema gasa, it makes no difference. The Gemara discussed this, we found a Sira, and in the final analysis, we said the following. If you're dealing with animals that are megadlin, megadlin means you're bringing them up, you're making them domesticated at home, so then we would distinguish between a behema daka and a behema gasa. In that a behema daka, like a small, tame, innocent sheep, is unlikely to run out because he's at home. And if that's the case, his shepherd would not be posseledus because there's no reason to suggest that his animals are eating from other people's property. Whereas if it is a cow, for example, that's a different story. I think I said it the other way around. A sheep is easier to slip out because it's a small little thing, but a cow is not going to slip through the cracks. And therefore, a behema gasa would not render him possible. That's only true, however, if he's megadlin, if he's raising them at home. If, however, he is taking them in the open, the yishuv, afar ha'oretz, then we do not distinguish between behema gasa, behema daka. Once you're out in the open, it's always the same, i.e., there's always a chashash that the animals will just wander into other people's fields and end up stealing people's property, and that would make the shepherd posseledus. So the Gemara, if you have a look, we're on the seventh bottom line. The first word on the line is itmar. We're now trying to prove. We're trying to prove this point. That essentially a shepherd is possible in all types of animals, behema gasa or behema daka. And the only exception might be, for example, if, like we said, if he's megadlin, that would be a different story. So if you have a look at the Gemara says, hochanami mistabra. Hochanami mistabra. That which we said before, that a behema gasa, a behema daka, it always makes him possible, is mistabra. It's indeed logical, and in fact, we can back this up. Midaktani, because didn't we learn in a brisa? Remember this, everybody? Ne'emonin olai shloisha roye boko. A person can say that I'm happy with your consent to trust three roye boko. Now, boko is what? Boko is a cow, which is a behema gasa. And if you have to say, Nemonin Molai, that I'm prepared to believe him, then what does that indicate? That without my special belief in him, what would be the halacha essentially? That he's possible. If I need a special chiddush called Ne'emonin Olai, that I'm prepared to invest him with belief and rely on him, that means essentially he's possible. So what doesn't that prove? That a roye boko, even though boko is not a sheep, it's not a behema daka, it's a behema gasa. And nonetheless, you see that essentially he's possible. Says the Gemara, midug toni nemonin olai shloye shoroye boko, my love le'edus. What does it mean, ne'emonin olai? I'm prepared to trust roye boko. I'm prepared to trust him for what? To be an aid? Or to be a dayon. So the Gemara says, let's assume that the discussion is Eidos. And I nonetheless see that he's only allowed to be an aid because I happen to invest him with my ne'emon and with my emunah. But without that, he would have been possible. Have a look at Rashi on the top. First, very wide line. In the middle of it, Hochanami Mistabra. It's logical. I've got to prove the roya behema gasa, underline the word gasa, is possible, even if it is a large animal. nonetheless would make the shepherd puzzle, because as we just said, a wild animal, a large animal also wanders around, because it says, Ne'emonin olai shleisha roye boker. Michlal, so we can deduce, the e loy kablinu ole comma, had he not been makabel them on him, means had he not said that clearly he trusts them, loy mehemni, they would not have been believed. They would not have been believed. So you see that essentially a roye boker is not believed, and is only believed if I happen to say that I'm prepared to believe him. But all of this, of course, was based on the big assumption that when it says Ne'emonin olai shloisha roye boker, what's the discussion? The discussion is Eidus. Says the Gemara, first word on the line, loy, it's not true, it's ledina. That Mishnah is not talking about Eidus, it's talking about Dayonim. Uh-oh, has it just switched color my screen?
You've gone a bit shady. You've gone shady.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about before. Okay.
Yeah, well, we can still hear you. That's the most important.
Yeah. But very, very strange one.
Rebbe, pick up your laptop and move it away from you for a second, and then come back. Okay. Like the camera, so the camera doesn't see you. Like pull it away from it completely. Like, and now bring it back. Anything? No.
That's not nothing.
How about shut off the video and turn it on? There you go. That's what you should do.
What do you see?
Now it's clear.
It's clear again?
Yeah, whenever that happens, just shut the video quickly and turn it back on. Like reboot it.
All right, we'll try that. Says the Gemara, loy ledina. We're not talking about a discussion in Eidus. When it says that I believe the Shloshei Roye Boker, what does it mean I believe them? I believe them for what? So we thought that maybe it means I believe them, I'm prepared to rely on them to be Edim. No, I'm prepared to rely on them to be Dayonim. In which case, you've got no proof to our discussion. Because all that you see in that case is that if I don't believe them, then essentially they're possible. But possible for what? Possible for Dayonis. But we don't have a raya from that brisa that there'll be possible for Eidus. We've only got a raya from that brisa that there'll be possible for Dayonis. How do I know we're talking about Dayonis? Says the Gemara, Dekanami. It is indeed Meduyuk, quite right, that we're talking about Dayonim Dektoni. Shloisha underline Roye Boker. It says the magic number three. If you're talking about Edim, you don't need three Edim. The E le Eidos, comma, if we're talking about Eidos, Shloisha Lomali. Well, why on earth would I need three? So if I say I'm trusting these three Roye Boker, what must it be? It must be Dayonim. So therefore, yes, all you can bring a proof from that Bryce is that if I don't say that I trust them, they would be possible. But possible for what? Apostle from being Dayanim. So you can't bring me a proof from there that somebody who's the Roye Boker is apostle essentially Le'edus. All you can bring me a proof is he's apostle to be a Dayan. Okay, very nice. That's not our discussion at all. Says the Gemara, Ve'elo mai ledina. Are you trying to tell me, therefore, that the discussion over there is Ladina? My Iria Shloisha Roye Boko. If we're talking about that, people who are essentially possible to being a Dayon, and the Chiddush is that nonetheless I am saying that I do trust them, then why are we talking Dafka about Shloisha Roye Boko? Kol Beit Loso, any three people, Deloy Gomri, Dina, who have not learned the Dinim properly, Nami, would also be the same question mark. Why is a Roye Boker disqualified from being a Dayon? Not because he's necessarily accused of Gzela, because he's simply an ignorant person. Your average Roye Boker, we do not expect, he hasn't learned the halachas, therefore he's incompetent from being a Dayan. If that is the discussion in the Braisa, then why does the Braisa have to pick on the example of Roye Boker? Why can't it just say any three people who are ignorant are essentially disqualified from being a Dayan? If you nonetheless choose to rely on them, then that's your prerogative. So why are we homing in? Why are we giving an example again? If you're telling me we're talking about Dayanus, we thought that we're talking about Eidos. So then I understand it's a big chiddush that Roye Boker apostle Eidos. But if you tell me that no, we're not talking about Eidos, it could well be that they're kosher for Eidos, they're not Gazlonim, but they're nonetheless apostle from being a Dayan. Why? Because Loi Gomar Dina, they haven't learned the halachas. Well, then there's nothing unique about Roye Boker. Any three people, Reuven, Shimon, Levi off the street, if they're ignorant people, then they can't be a Dayan. So why did the Braisa need to speak about Roye Boker?
Rebbe?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a general statement. But even if you just go with the Lashon of the Gemara, but we just said that a behema gasa versus a behema daka, the behema daka is not proposal, but he's talking about dina. The dina, it wouldn't make a bit difference if he said roa boker gasa, roa dina, roa gasa. It wouldn't make a difference because a roa is not an intelligent person.
Right.
So the whole conversation is out the window.
Right. Good. Yeah. Good point. Good point. Says the Gemara again. So look at that line again. The Elomai. Are you trying to tell me that it's talking about ladina? If that's the case, my area, Shloisha Roye Boka. So why are you talking about shepherds? Just tell me a more general principle. Kol Bei Telosa, any three people, Deloy Gemiri, Dina, who have not learned the halachas, Nami, the same halacha would apply. Says the Gemara, Hochi Ka'omar, this is what was meant. This is what it's teaching us. Afilu hani deloy shchichi beyishuv. Even these three people who are not accustomed to yishuv. What does yishuv mean? Civilization. Your average Roye Boker is not accustomed to civilization. He lives out there in the open in the fields. Have a look at Rashi. Deloy shchichi beyishuv, veloy ra'u, veloy shamu. Neither have they seen, nor have they heard iske din. They've never really been involved iske din between benon and chaveroi. What are these three people? These are three people who are not just ignorant, but they don't even live in the town. They don't live amongst people. They sit out in the field 14 hours a day. They're not involved in the regular comings and goings of life, buying and selling. Therefore, I would have thought that even if you choose to trust them, there's no such thing. They can't be a Dayan. They're totally disqualified. Nonetheless, I kablinu alayhu, once you makabel them on yourselves, loy motzi lemehedar, you cannot backtrack. That is the chiddush. Again, we asked the question, why could the Braisa simply not say, any three people who are ignorant, you can choose to rely on them and then you're stuck with them? Why do you have to talk about Roye Boker? Terence says, Roye Boker is a chiddush. Roye Boker are not just people who are ignorant, meaning they haven't learned the relevant halachas. Worse than that, Roye Boker are not even surrounded by civilization. They're out there in the fields. They don't sit in between people. They don't go into stores. They're not sitting in offices. They don't know how to wheel and deal and buy and trade and sell. So I would have thought somebody like that, yeah, you cannot possibly appoint him as a Dayan, even if you accept him. The chiddush is that no, you are allowed to. It's your prerogative. If you choose to appoint him as a Dayan, that's it. You're stuck with him. So now, in the final analysis, what does it mean, therefore, that this braisa about Roye Boker is not talking about Eidos? And therefore, we cannot bring a proof to what we said before. What did we say before? We said before that somebody who is a Roya, even off a behema gasa like Boker, he's possible for an aid. Because the assumption is that the Boker, the behema gasa, will wander off into other people's fields, which means that the shepherd is not careful enough about other people's money. We try to bring a proof from our Braisa, because the Braisa says that a Roye Boker is essentially apostle. In the final analysis, it's no proof, because that braisa is not telling me the halachas of Eidos, it's telling me the halachas of Dayonos. That a roye boka is possible essentially to be a Dayon. Nonetheless, if you decide that you want to choose to rely on him, then you may do so. That's your prerogative. Yeah, Rabbi Larry.
If we're talking about roe altogether, because as opposed to as an occupation, because they're not in society, etc., all the money gave Yisrael, David HaMelech, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, they were all roe. They're all roe tzon. So how can you assume that they cannot be dayonim when that was their occupation?
All these people were roe tzon. Chazal tell us that many of the leaders of Klal Yisrael and the Ovis HaKadoshim were roe tzon. But they were not only roe tzon. If you look, for example, in last week's parsha with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though on the one hand he was a roe tzon, but he was very much, yes, involved with the people. He saw people being beaten up. He was involved in their lives. The shepherds are weird to me. Somebody who's in the field 24/7. Why does it say that a leader should be a roye tzoin? Why is it that they started off being a shepherd? So Chazal, the Mephoroshim say two reasons. One is, very interestingly, the Kli Yoko writes this, because if they are there out in the open, and they're able to be misboinein in the Bria and become closer to Hashem. Very interestingly. Others say, and this has actually got a source in Chazal, because if somebody is a Roya, then he's naturally got the middah of Rachmonus. And the number one middah for a manhig, for a leader, is that he has to be a Rachamon.
Isn't this a steer with what the Gemara is saying? I mean, David HaMelech spent all of his days in the field. He wasn't involved with people. That was the whole
point. No, until he became a Melech.
Huh?
Until he became a melech. You're asking, how did he become a melech in the first place? I don't know. That was divinely appointed. I don't know. Good question. Okay, back into the Gemara. Omar of Yehuda. Fourth bottom line. We're trying to reach the two dots today. Stam roya posel. Stam gabai kosher. What does that mean, stam? You've got a guy who's a roye boka. Now, I don't have clear evidence necessarily that he's been grazing his animals in other people's fields. Do I automatically assume him to be that gazlan or not? That's what it means, stam, without any evidence. And that's what we're saying. If he's a roye, then that's the assumption. Stam, roye, apostle. Look at Rashi, third wide line. Stam roya, your average roya, even if I know nothing about him, da'akati loy chazinon, we have as yet not seen him. Da'ailu behemoisov, we have not seen him take his animals besodois acheirois in other people's fields. Nonetheless, the assumption is that's what he's doing, and he's considered possible even without having any evidence to back that up. On the other hand, stam gabai kosher. Remember we said yesterday, why are tax collectors considered to be posel? Because there's a concern that maybe they're actually overcharging the people in the town and they are pocketing some of the money. Here the Gemara is telling us that's only if you know them to be doing that, but stam gabai is kosher, says Rashi. Stam gabai kosher ad deshaminon bay. Until we hear clearly evidence to the contrary, the shokil yeserata, that he is taking something extra. So apparently, it just seems to be that the facts on the ground are different. Your average shepherd does steal. Your average tax collector doesn't necessarily steal, but might well do so. Therefore, the difference would be, as long as I don't have any evidence, what do I have to assume? That's what the Gemara is telling you. You have to assume that the roya is probably a gazlan, but you don't have to assume that the gabai, in other words, a tax collector, is a gazlan. Now, says the Gemara, Avuha de Reb Zeira, the father of Reb Zeira, Ovad Gavyusa, he worked as a Gavyusa, to be goiva, as a collector. So Reb Zeira's father was a tax collector, Tleisar Shnin, for 13 years. 13 years, he had the job of collecting taxes. Ki hava osi reishnahara lamata. When the reishnahara means like the leader, when the melech came to the town, so now he had to be on board. He had to be very careful. Ki hava chazer rabbonon. When he knew that the ruler, meaning the non-Jewish ruler, was in town, so if he saw the Rabbonon Omalei, he would say to them, Leich imi bo bechadrecho. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Bo bechadrecho, which means go into your rooms, please hide. So he wasn't saying it to them clearly, he was just quoting a pasuk. He was hinting to them, quickly hide, careful, the king's around. What was the point of hiding? So have a look at Rashi. Ki have chazi avur de Reb Zeira. When the father of Reb Zeira, this tax collector, would see the Rabbanon miyeshvei ha'ir from the townspeople, Omar used to quote the pasuk and say, Leich imi bo b'chadrech. In other words, deloy nachazina bocha reish nahara, so that the reish nahara should not see you. Shehu sar ha'ir. He is the ruler of the city. And if he comes to the town and sees lots of people around, there's many inhabitants, well, then he's going to ask for more money. Ah, I've come to the town. I didn't realize how many Jews there are in the city. Fine, I'm going to double the collective taxes. In other words, it seemed to be that the community was given a tax as a whole. So the ruler would say, this community has to come up with 1 million rubles, and the tax collector's job was to go and raise that 1 million rubles from between the population. If the ruler comes to town and he sees that there are more people there than he initially thought, then what's he going to do? He's inevitably going to put up the tax expectation. And that's why he was telling them, hide, hide. But he was trying to be lenient with them. For who are makel aleihem hamas umadche sar ha'ir, and he was trying to persuade the sar ha'ir to say sheyeshleho muatin, to try and, as it were, convince him that there's not so many people in the town, the ein mimilig voice, and there's no one to collect it for, and that's why he was telling people quickly hide. And then the Sar Ha'ir will presumably think that there's not that many people, and then they'll put the taxes down. Which, by the way, begs the obvious question, is this considered honest? Is it not honest? What does that mean that he told the ruler of the town that there's less people? How could he do that? But there were not less people, there were more people that just happened to be hiding. I'm not sure. So look back into the Gemara. Second bottom line. When he saw the Rabbonon, so they were Tamidei Chachamim. And if they were Tamidei Chachamim, he didn't need to explicitly tell them to hide. It was enough just to quote the pasuk that hinted to it. So Omar, so he said, Leich inni bo b'chadarecha. But ki have a chazi in shedamata. But when he saw people from the town who were not necessarily learned, so therefore the only way to get the message across would be to tell them clearly, but not just to quote a pasuk. Is Omas, and now he would say it clearly. Now he would really explain exactly what he meant, not just use a remez, and he would say, Reish Nahara Osa Lamota. The ruler has come to town. Vaho Idna Nochis, and now he's coming to collect, or literally translated to slaughter, Abba Lafum Bra, Ubra Lafum Abba. Father to son, son to father. In other words, careful, he's going to come and he's going to absolutely every father, every single son is going to have this tax levied on them. Umiganzu. What does it mean, umiganzu? And then they used to hide. So he wasn't actually giving different messages to the Talmidei Chachamim than he was to the regular townspeople. It's just a question of how he worded it. The message was the same. The ruler of the town has come. He is, understandably, and we're concerned that he's going to now put out the taxes when he sees how many people there are. I'm advising people to hide. In the case of the Talmidei Chachamim, he didn't need to spell it out clearly. It was enough that he just quoted a pasuk that alluded to that. To all the rest of the people, he had to spell out absolutely black and white. It is a danger. We have to now listen to the king, and therefore, you better hide. Says the Gemara on the top line, Kula Alma Kiosi. Omale Miman Niboi. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef, from the top line?
I said they've taken the Kula Alma with the Umiganzo. And they've got put everybody goes and hiding.
Oh, I see. Umignasi Kula Alma. Not just the Tamid Chachomim should hide. Everybody should hide. Such that Ki Osi, so that when the ruler comes, Omale will say, Miman Niboy. Well, who should I claim the tax from? There's not many people around. Okay. Now, when he passed away, it came for him, time for him to leave this world, the father of Reb Zeira. Omale, he said, presumably to his son, Shekulu Tlesar Moi, take 13 coins, the Tsairi Li, which are bundled up, Besadinoi, in some blanket that I have. The Hodrule, and return them Leplania, to Pliny, to a certain individual. In other words, he left an instruction to his inheritor. There is a sodin, a sheet, which is holding 13 coins. I want you to give it to a particular person. De Shoklesinu Mine, because I once took it from him, in other words, in my tax collector's career. The loy itstrichuli, but it turned out it wasn't necessary for me. I didn't need it. I managed to raise the funds even without. So why is the Gemara bringing this story? Clearly, we're just bringing the story to illustrate the point that you see that how honest he was. How honest he was. So clearly, we cannot therefore say that every tax collector is considered automatically to be possible and take money which doesn't belong to him. To the contrary. You see how honest the father of Zaire was. Even as he was lying on his deathbed, he still managed to recall his 12 coins that he said, yes, I initially collected, but I don't need. And that is the end of the sugya.
Isn't there Rav a minute to say, yeah, it's Rav Zaire, but not everybody's Rav Zaire. On the whole, tax collectors are in unreliable, but he's Rav Zaire. Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily a proof to the previous Gemara, quite right.
At least some.
Yeah. Now have a look. We just have time. Have a look at the last Tosfos on the Omid. On the Chof Yamabes. Stam Gabai Kasha. Says Tosfos. Pirush HaKuntres V'ho Dohisifu HaGaboyin V'hamuchzin. That which we added, the tax collectors, and we said they are apostle for Eidos. Didn't you just tell me that the Stam Gabai is kosher? Terry says it's true. In ordinary circumstances, he's considered to be kosher. Unless I saw to the contrary, and that's what Rashi says, we're talking about the shockly yaseirata. That if we know they took extra money, that's when they're considered possible. Now, yesterday, Reb Larry asked a question, and now we're going to see the Tosis that answers it. If the tax collectors took extra money, well, obviously, the apostolators are just straightforward gazlan. What on earth is the chiddush? Tosfos comes to answer this question. Says Tosfos, V'osi la'ashminon, V'kosi la'ashminon. It's coming to teach us. Oh, what is it coming to teach us? That was your kasha. Isn't it obvious that he's just a straightforward ganav? No. The Ka'asi Lashminon, and it's coming to teach us the Afal Gav Shehichzir Hagabai Vahameches, even if they eventually gave the money back, nonetheless possible. Veloidomi Leshar Gazlonim, it's not like a regular Gazlon. Shechziru, once he gives back the stolen property, the ksheirim is considered kosher. And that, says Tosis, the chiddush in his gaboyim. That even though they're not out and out gazlonim because they always give back the money in the end, but they are still nonetheless to an extent even better than ganovim. And that is the chiddush. And that is the chiddush. So again, in the case of a gazlan, if he gives back the money, then he's kosher. That's what Tosis says now. V'leidomi l'shar gazlonim shehechziru. It's not the same as a regular gazlan if he gives back the money to ksherim. Dahai lo yoda leman hader. Whereas a tax collector doesn't know who to give it back from. How does he know who to give it back to? In the case of Reb Zeira's father, apparently he knew exactly where these extra 13 coins came from. But under ordinary circumstances, he's just knocked on every single person's door in town. And now he decides he wants to be chozer tshuv and give back the 5 extra rubles. Who's he going to give it back to? You can't remember. He just knocked on 1,000 people's doors. Therefore, he was not really able to be chozer b'tshuva, number one. V'oid kiven da'adayin heim oiskin b'gabois u'b'meches, since they're still in the same job of being tax collectors, chashudim lachzor lekilkulom, they are suspect they might just go back to their kilkul. B'ishlema, a ganav is not a profession. He stole, so it could be as a one-off thing. He gave it back, okay, he's been chozer b'tshuva, and that's that. Whereas a guy who's a tax collector, he's forever involved in this situation of having the nesayon of taking extra money. And therefore, even if so, either it's not possible for him to be chozer b'tshuva, because how does he know who to give the money back to? Or even if in theory he does, but because he's continuously in the same job, the assumption is that the Yitzhar is going to be too big, and if he took extra money first time round, he's going to do it again.
And how does this answer a roa that who's stealing, whose sheep or whatever is stealing the grass of somebody else's field? It's absolute gazlan. It's absolute gezel.
Not a chance to look at. Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. Okay, so Mr. Hashem, we're going to hold it over here, and Be'ez Hashem, we're going to begin tomorrow trying to do a quick chazara back to the Chof Dalad Amud Aleph, the Mishnah of Omar Alei, Ne'eman Olai.